Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.org. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 10:15 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Walked beside me. The winter storms made a way for spring. In every season, from where I'm standing, I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life.
Of his goodness and his grace, his salvation is evident in our lives. Father God, we have nothing to fear for those of us who know you, because you have provided salvation. You have provided grace. You have provided mercy. And God, it is because of your gospel that we celebrate today. It's because of your gospel that we can sing. It's because of your gospel that we are able to open the scripture. Lord, speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated if you will. If you have a Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 12. While you're turning, you should have received a communion cup when you came in. It looks like a little chalice. If for some reason you did not pick one up, now would be a great time to hop up and go to the back door and grab it as we get started. We will be celebrating communion in just a couple of moments together, or actually in about 10 minutes together. So I want you to be ready for that. When the time comes, I'll go ahead and explain to you how these work. They are little nifty kinds that reverse. So you can start with the bread and peel that side, then flip it over and peel the side for the juice. And so you're prepared for that when the time comes in a few moments. Most every person in this room is preparing for some kind of feast this Thursday. Maybe yours is going to be Wednesday or Friday. But who's looking forward to some type of feast with your family this week? Put your hand up. Say amen. All right, anybody? All right. If you're not, you are welcome to come to our house. We're not going to be there, but you can come. No, I'm just kidding. You can come with us. You can go with us. So let's exercise with me for a moment, okay? Close your eyes. I want you to focus hard till you can smell the turkey. Can you smell it? Keep your eyes closed. Smell the dressing. Man, I love it. Smell the sweet potato casserole. The Krispy Kreme donuts. You got it. I'm just kidding. I'm mixing up my food fantasies there for a moment. But feasts have always been used to commemorate important things since the beginning of mankind. We see it over and over in the scripture. We see it in our lives in different ways. Countries all around the world do so. But Jewish people have been faithfully celebrating the Feast of Unleavened Bread, what we call Passover, for around 3,500 years. They still celebrate it today. And there's two very important Passovers in the scripture. It's mentioned more times, but two that I think are most important. The first one in Exodus, and then what I think the most significant one we'll find in the book of Mark in just a moment. The first one we mention is the original Passover. The second is the ultimate Passover. The first brought temporary freedom for Israel. It brought them out of bondage against the Egyptians. The second brought ultimate redemption for the world. The first Passover was a foreshadow of the cross and a foreshadow of the resurrection to come. The second one was the greatest aha moment that the world has ever seen, where it's as if the Old Testament shoots a laser beam straight to the cross and the resurrection and the empty tomb and to all the beauty of that. The first Passover required the blood of a lamb to provide safety from death and from destruction. The second Passover that we discuss shows us an eternal reminder that the blood of the Lamb of God has defeated death. So let's read a little bit in Exodus, and then we'll read a little in Mark, and then we will celebrate communion together. In Exodus chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, I'm going to skip around some, so I'll keep up with where we're going and let you know. Exodus 12, verse 1, it says, "The Lord said to Moses," now remember, the Israelites are in bondage. They have been living under the rule and control of the Egyptians for many years. And they were oppressed people, and God was about to deliver them. So the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you." Something significant when God is talking about the calendar. Verse 3, "Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household." Now skip to verse 5. "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight." Can you imagine this happening? Hundreds of thousands of people, tens of thousands of families, all were going to slaughter an animal at the same time. Verse 7, "Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall eat it." Now remember, they've never had this Passover before. We've studied the Passover Seder and what it means. We've read it in the scripture. We've seen it. This was the first for them. God was giving them something new. Look at verse 11. "And you will eat it in this manner." Not only does God tell them what to prepare and what to do, he then says, this is how you're supposed to eat it. This is incredibly detailed. He says, do it with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods, little g, of Egypt, I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. Can you imagine Moses hearing this for the first time? God says you are to prepare a meal, get dressed this way and stand and eat it. And you need to know that I'm going to execute judgment on the Egyptians in the middle of all that. This would be overwhelming to hear at one time, not having ever heard this before. And so he goes on to tell us this in verse, skip on to verse 14. This day you shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord through your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you will remove leaven out of your houses. For anyone who eats what is leavened from the first day until the seventh, that person will be cut off from Israel. That's a pretty serious demand that God is making upon this group of Israelites. Look at verse 17. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this very day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe the day throughout your generations as a statute forever. Now remember, God has just explained to Moses what the Passover celebration would be for the rest of eternity, before the Passover's even happened. It's quite an amazing viewpoint. Now look at what he says here in verse 21. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and touch the lintel and touch the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of that house until the morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? You shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses. And the people bowed their heads and worshiped. Verse 28, then the people of Israel went and did so as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron that they do. Verse 29, horrific verses. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, to the firstborn of the livestock. And Pharaoh rose up in the middle of the night, he and all of his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where someone was not dead. Now I realize that is a difficult story there at the end. But do you hear what God is doing in painting this story and writing this story and giving these commands? Do you hear it? It's the Old Testament shouting the promise of Jesus. Over and over, the Old Testament points to the cross. There's so much symbolism right here. Think about this symbolism for a moment. In the Old Testament, a lamb would provide the way. In the New Testament, in John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptizer sees Jesus coming, and he says this: the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So the Old Testament, a lamb would provide the way. In the New Testament, the blood of the lamb would be their redemption. Jesus would pay the price for their salvation and for our salvation. In the Old Testament, they put blood on the sides and the top of the door frame. Now watch this. You put blood on the sides, you put blood on the lintel of the door frame. It's this beautiful image of the cross that is made, and the symbolism here in the Old Testament shouts of the cross to come. In the New Testament, the cross of Christ is our hope, and we have hope in him. He tells them to take bitter herbs and to eat them. And this represents the sorrow and grief of their past sin and their oppression under bondage. It was bitter, and so it was an oppression, and that represents that. The unleavened bread that they were to eat, it was made without yeast, was God preparing them in advance to be able to leave in a hurry. They didn't have time to watch bread rise. They didn't have time for that to take a long time. They would have unleavened bread, and after the Passover lamb, the Passover angel had come and brought death to those, they would be set free and they would go quickly. So God was providing for them before they even knew what was coming. Doesn't God still do that today? Has God ever done that for you? I can think of times in my life, and I bet you can as well, where God has provided something that you didn't know you needed until later when you needed it, and you realize God was working in advance all along. It happens with people's finances. I've heard multiple people, my own family included, that something comes along and you end up with some extra resources that you didn't know you were going to end up with, and you're all excited about that, and the washing machine breaks. Or the car breaks down, or this or that happens. And what do we say? I can never get ahead. When what we ought to be saying is, thank you, Jesus, that you provided in advance. Amen? God provides in advance. Let me give you a real life example for me. In 1989, I was a freshman at Samford University. And I had my family did not have the means to pay for me to go to Samford. So I received a pretty good scholarship because I was a ministerial student, another scholarship. And then I had a grant from the Baptist Foundation to cover the rest of that first year. So it was all covered. We moved on to the second year and got to that point. And I thought I would have all the same again. We get down to just before school starts and we get word that grant from the Baptist Foundation that was for me and one other person was now going to be split between six people. So the amount was greatly reduced at the very last minute. So I was needing to find $2,537. Now, I got to be honest. In 2021, $2,537 is still a whole lot of money to me. Somebody say amen, right? Amen. All right. Now, in 1990, to a 19-year-old, that's a whole lot of money. And so I went to my church that Wednesday night. I found out that day I was working at a church in Bessemer as a minister of music and youth, and we went and had the prayer meeting. They didn't have the money. Some of you have heard this story before, but it bears repeating. And so I just asked, would you pray for me? I need the Lord to provide $2,537 before school starts in just a couple of days. And so they prayed, and they knew how to pray. They knew how to pray. They prayed loud. I like loud prayers, by the way. You would say, well, I can't understand. People that say, I can't understand if everybody's praying at once. We're not praying to you anyway. We're talking to God. So I like it when we all pray out loud. I'm good with it, okay? And so in the middle of this church prayed for me, these country folks that just love Jesus. And so the next day I go to school to my SU mailbox in the student center at Samford University, open up my little mailbox, and there, in that mailbox was a check for $2,537. That check was mailed before I knew the need and before we prayed. Now, I'm just here to tell you, that changed the faith of this 19-year-old back then. And at 50 years old now, I can tell you that it has increased and changed the way I've lived my life the last 31 years because of that. God provides often before we even know we need it. And that's exactly what he does here in this story for them. Look at verse 11. He tells them to eat with their cloak tucked in their belt, sandals on their feet, staff in hand. When you tuck your cloak in your belt, it means you're about to move fast, because if it's out, you're walking slowly. You tuck it in, you're moving quickly. They were about to be set free for this grand adventure of God, and they didn't even know it. And I would say to you this morning, God has set you and me free on the grand adventure of life as well. If he's brought you salvation and new life, he has equipped you, the scripture says, by the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to live a life of godliness. That's what the Bible says. He is equipping you to be able to do that. And he's calling you to a great adventure. So does your life look like a great adventure? Do you have your belt on and your shoes on, or is your belt off and your shoes off and you're just waiting for God to bless you? Friends, God has blessed you. Get on to living the adventure. I read in a book recently a phrase that just stuck out to me, how many people are waiting for God's voice to tell them to do something before they'll live what he's already showed us in his word we're supposed to do. And here's what I would say to you. If you're waiting on a voice, God's already given you a verse. Quit waiting on a voice. The scripture is full of verses that tell us to go and make disciples. Verses that tell us to walk in godliness and truth. Verses that tell us to be ambassadors for the kingdom of God. Verses that tell us to do all kinds of things. I love what that writer said. We don't need to just wait on a voice. We have a verse. God has called us to a grand adventure. And so I want to encourage you to be ready. Now, ours is not necessarily the same as theirs. They were walking out of bondage into freedom. That part's the same for us. Salvation brings us from bondage to freedom. And they were walking to inherit a promised land. And most of those that were starting the journey weren't going to make it on the journey before it was all said and done. But for us, it's all about legacy. We are moving forward to live the life that God has called us to minister to the people that he's called us to give him the glory that he is worthy of. And that's what he's called us to do. So God tells them to celebrate this every year. And they've been doing so for 3,500 years. Now, that story is great and it stands alone as a wonderful story. But when you put the culmination to that story 1,500 years later, we have changed the world. That changed a nation. The second Passover we're going to look at changed the world. Look to the book of Mark, if you will, very quickly. Just a few quick verses. Mark chapter 14. 1,500 years have passed. Jesus has his disciples. He's performing miracles. The blind receive sight. Dead people are raised. Lame people can walk. People are coming to know what it means to walk in holiness. Those that walked in adultery and sin and shame are now clean and made new. People that were downcast and outcast are now brought into his friendship and his inner circle. And it's time to celebrate Passover, something that Jesus, the King of the Jews, would surely do. And something that all of these Jewish boys that were with him would do. And so it says this in Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 12. On the very first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And right after this, Jesus gives them directions. You will go to this place. You'll find this. You'll ask this question. You'll end up. You'll get it prepared. It'll be ready for us. Skip on down to verse 22. They're eating the Passover meal, the unleavened bread. They're eating the other parts of the meal, the bitter herbs. They're doing all the things they knew to do in addition to this beautiful feast. And it says, and as they were eating, he, Jesus, took bread. And after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." Picture it now. Moses hears for the first time 1,500 years before what they're supposed to do before the death angel comes and before they are set free from Egypt, and it's overwhelming. And so for 1,500 years, they think they are celebrating and commemorating what happened for a group of people, not realizing that they were celebrating, commemorating, and pointing to the future of what was going to happen on this night that would change the world for all mankind. And so Jesus, in the middle of this Passover meal, takes the bread that they have been eating, thinking it was because it was out of haste and in a hurry. And he breaks it and he says, "This is my body, broken for you." Can you imagine what they must have thought? He had not gone to the cross yet. He wouldn't be arrested till later that night. No one had beaten him yet. No one had laid a hand on him yet. And probably, as far as the disciples thought, they didn't think anyone was capable of doing such a thing. You watch somebody raise the dead and think someone's going to get a hand on them. They couldn't imagine it. And so he says, "This is my body broken for you." And then he takes this cup and he says, "This is the blood of my covenant for you." Can you imagine what they thought? I doubt that they understood. I doubt that they understood the next day even. But there would be a day coming soon when they would understand. The next day would be horrible. Jesus would go to the cross. But 3 days later, the empty tomb, the risen Savior, It was a new transformed life. So friends, the empty tomb and the risen Savior give us new life as well. Radically transformed life. There in verse 23, he says, this wine is not just wine, it's the blood of the covenant poured out for many. The symbolism is so powerful. And so the first Passover brought earthly freedom and a lasting memorial. This Passover brought an eternal freedom and a lasting memorial of worship. So today we celebrate communion together. Today as the band comes, we're going to be prepared to sing. The band will lead us in a song as we celebrate. And I want you to stop and think about something for a moment. First of all, if you're here and you do not know Jesus, please know that for you to take this bread and this cup, that the scripture says that's not something we're to do if we don't know him, because we're not able to truly celebrate and commemorate what he has done for us. So for those of us that are here and maybe you're not certain you have Jesus or you know you don't know him, right now would be the time to stop and say, Jesus, I give you my life. Thank you for being the one who made a way for me through your blood, through your body, that I could be saved and walk in a covenant with you, that I could walk in freedom. Father, I need you. There's no magic words. It's you receiving the gracious gift of God in your life and saying, God, I give you my life. Some of us do that right now. But for those that know him, can I encourage you to stop and take a moment and remember the day you were saved. Remember when he changed your life. Maybe for you, you were young and it wasn't until later on in life where you really had a better understanding of what God did for you and what it meant to walk in him. Remember that day. What it's like to go back to that moment and do so with gratitude and thankfulness for the cross and for the empty tomb. If you've received his salvation and his transformed life, but you've traded it in for your own way of living, this is the time to stop and repent. Say, God, I want to walk in your power for your glory, for your name's sake. But if you're here and you've walked in his presence this week, listen, I would encourage you, take a moment to thank him for all he's done. So we're going to sing, the band will, a song for us. And there'll be a place where I will encourage you to go ahead and open and be ready to take the bread. And we will celebrate it together. But my prayer is that God has prepared our hearts as we think about the first Passover. And now we think about that incredible day where Jesus celebrated it. And then what we now celebrate the past 2,000 years because of the empty tomb. We understand the fulfilled celebration of Passover. Listen to this song. Them and he said, take, this is my body. Take the bread.
Drink from the cup, it is.
he had given thanks, he gave it to them. And they all drank it. He said, "This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." Amen.
We cry worthy, we cry worthy is the Lamb of God. We cry worthy, we cry worthy, we cry worthy is the Lamb of God. We cry worthy,
sing it with us. If you will. On that first Passover, they sprinkled the blood on their individual homes. It's a reminder that you and I are called to live a life of worship, not just in this place, not just in a beautiful moment like that, but we're called to live a life of worship on our own, in our own homes. I want my home to point to Jesus, to worship him through acts of praise to God, to worship him through grace extended to others, to worship him in living holy because he is holy. In 1 Corinthians 11:26, it says, "For often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Hey guys, he's coming again. He's coming again. And he tells us that he would not drink the fruit of the vine until he drinks it anew in the kingdom of God. And his words point where the first Passover pointed to the cross, then the next Passover, the night before he dies, points to the day that is coming when Jesus will come again. And your Thanksgiving meal may be celebrated with good food, with gratitude, and with great family, but can you imagine what it's going to be like to celebrate through the marriage supper of the Lamb that it speaks of in Revelation? Listen to these words. John the Revelator says, "Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, like the sound of many peals of thunder crying out, 'Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready.'" We are the bride. "It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen that is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me," write this down, and John wrote this, listen, "Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to them, "These are the true words of God." What a glorious feast celebration that awaits us. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Sing this with us.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on. body bound and drenched in tears. They laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all
resurrection.
Then on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the
God. We praise your name. We praise you for that first Passover, the way you provided for Israel. We praise you for the great Passover that then led to the crucifixion, which led to the cross, at the crucifixion, which led to the empty tomb, which leads to new life for us. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. And we praise you for the feast, the day, the celebration that is to come. The eternal marriage supper of the Lamb. God, thank you for this moment of worship. Thank you for your holiness and your goodness. You are worthy of our praise. With your head still bowed and your eyes closed, we're going to have an invitation. If you're here and maybe the Lord has dealt with you in this communion service and you need to make repentance, come and pray. Someone will pray with you. Maybe You have someone that you're praying that they will desperately come to the Lord before the Lord returns, and you want to pray for them? Come and pray. Maybe God's calling you to salvation, and because of that, you want to come and declare publicly that you have Jesus in your life, or you want to pray to give your life to Him. I'll pray with you. Maybe for you, you've given your life to Jesus, but you want to follow through with believer's baptism to go underwater and come back up as a symbol of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, of our old ways made new in Him, walking new in Him. And you say, I want to come today to say, in the next few weeks, I want to be baptized. Maybe God's calling you to unite with our faith family. Maybe God wants you to come and be a part of this local army. Our desire is to serve Jesus by serving our community, our nation, and the world. That we would not just come sit and soak, but that we would serve and live the mission of God. So if God's calling you to be a part of that, you want to come, you come. If there's some other prayer need, if we can pray for you, you come. Come just as you are. Father, have your way among us now. In Jesus' name.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.